I wanted to share with everyone a quick idea on the last week's parsha, this week's parsha, an idea on the Chumash, but an idea that has very, I think, strong and far-reaching, important ideological hashkafic implications for us and for everything. I was thinking a little bit over Shabbos and what the fresh stuff is and thoughts I've had years in the past I wanted to share with everyone. Rashi at the beginning of the parasha, and the pasuk says, and Noach was a tzaddik v'doro sav, has two famous comments, I'm sure people know them. One is that the praise, Yesh Rabbeinu Shadarshim L'Shvach, and there are those who think it's a negative comment, Yesh Shadarshim L'Ganai. Some people say, Noach was so righteous and so spiritual and so holy, in such a terrible generation that for sure if you were what? In a better generation, it would have been even better. You know, I have a friend who was telling me that the connection is from Noah to his wife on the Parsha. What are you talking about? His wife is doing teachers across America. Do you know what that program is?
Yeah.
Teach for America?
Teach for America.
I thought you did. So she used to run, like, on the Upper West Side, the Hebrew school for, like, you know, fifth graders. And now she's running, like, you know, for seventh graders in Harlem. She was saying she, you know, felt like a Noah. You know, she was so good and so easygoing with the fifth graders on the West Side, and all of a sudden she's with seventh graders in Harlem. You know, and they, you know, she no longer, you put her in a difficult situation, she feels like she's sunk. And that's the second. So, in other words, I guess the point is your success depends upon your generation. It was so easy for her with the fifth grader. She thought she was a star. Am I doing this right? In other words, it's so easy for her to shine with the fifth grader, but all of a sudden it became much more competitive, much more difficult to shine. She didn't shine as much. And that's the second approach toward Noah, which is if he would have been compared to Avram Avinu, lo nichshav l'klum, not only would he be not as great, he'd be a zero. And the question many Mefarshim ask on Rashi, the quote and his opinion that Noach wasn't so great is, why not? Where'd you get that from? Torah calls him a tzaddik. Now once but twice, there's only one man in all the Chumash Torah calls a tzaddik. It's Noah. Calls him twice throughout the Parsha. And these rabbis come along and say, no, it's not Darshan L'Shvach, it's Darshan L'Ganai, it's a negative comment. The Unkelus takes a step as well when the Torah says earlier on that Noah was Matzachain Ve'ele Hashem, and that's why he was saved because he was found favor in God's eyes. The Unkelus says, nah, just means God had Rachmanis on him. He wasn't really a star, he was good. He wasn't great. And the question is, why would anyone say this? Where does it come from? Why not just read the Pasuk, Noah Ish Tzadik Tamim Hayav Adarasav Kipshuto? Why not just say, yeah, Noah was a righteous man? Where does this desire to critique and find fault in Noah come from? Good, but not great. And why compare him to Avraham Avinu? I think I'm a good guy. But if you compare me to Avraham Avinu, you want to know what? I'm also not that type of cool. I'm not even to know. Is it fair to compare Noah to Avraham Avinu? Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, was a tremendous, tremendous guy. Not as good as Moshe Avinu. But no one compares him to Moshe. They say he's good for himself. The Avos were super, but no one's as great as Moshe. No one says Avraham is lo nichshav l'klum because he's not as good as Moshe. So why all of a sudden are we comparing Noah to Avraham? Those are my two questions that I had. Number one, why be so critical? Why be so down on Noah? Number two, why compare him to Avraham? You don't compare anyone to anyone. Why is that there? The truth is, I think the perspective, the glasses that Chazal wore when they looked at Noah, were as follows. You can see it by several of the Mamre Chazal, Rashi quotes them. How long did it take Noah to build the Teva? 120 years, am I right? Think it took Noah 120 years to build a table. Anyone know the famous reason why Rashi quotes why did it take him so long? Because people would come to him and they'd say, hey Noah, what you building there? And Noah would be like, I'm building a table. And they would ask, well, why are you building the tables? It's like, well, God's about to destroy the world. And the goal was to hope that what? Yeah, because anyone think 120 years is a long time? Yeah, point number one. And point number two is, did Noah initiate, did Noah go out to these people? They had to come too. Yeah, furthermore, Chazal say that Noah, well, the Pasuk says rather, because I'll explain the reason why. The Pasuk says that most people in Noah's generation were having children at a much younger age, somewhere around 100. Okay? Noah, by contrast, had children at around 500. Anyone know the reason why, according to Rashi, according to Chazal? Who knows this Rashi? If you do, feel free to raise your hand. That is the appropriate time. Rashi writes that God was afraid that Noah wouldn't raise righteous children. You know, when you're like in sixth grade, fourth grade, you're still kind of from, but all of a sudden you hit high school and like, you know, the rabbi's children start doing things Saturday night that the rabbi doesn't know about. You know what I'm talking about? You know, in front of her father, she dresses one way, remote the shop, she goes out, she dresses doing what type of thing. So that's like the same phenomenon, I think, that Chazal said about Noah. That it's important we get his children in the Teva while they're still young, because if they grow up, who knows which path they're going to go up onto. I'm not sure, but they were. But still, I hear. Still was younger. I don't fully understand the sociological, ages they were married. It's a fair question. But nonetheless, it's what Chazal say. It's a great question. I don't have an answer. Weren't they married like a little bit older? They weren't still 13 and 18. They were significantly older. I don't know the exact age, but couldn't be in their hundreds. But the point is, nonetheless, that apparently Noah had no real, ability or desire, one of the two, to be mechanech his kids in Zerah HaDavar. Along those lines. And Mepharshim points out, I think the Sfarno sense is the clearest, that Noah was a righteous man. Noah was a true and sincere savage. However, Noah didn't impact others. Noah didn't teach, Noah didn't preach, Noah didn't spread the word of God. Well, probably, and that's probably why they didn't think of it. We'll see in a second. Where did they get this from? Well, the truth is they may have gotten it a little bit from the text itself. After all, when Noah came out of the table, what was the first thing he did? Built a vineyard and?
Got drunk.
One may have argued that when Noah came out of the table, you know the first thing would have been on my mind? I'd be a little bit depressed at first, but the next step would be to rebuild. If I'm not mistaken, they're even like Rashi or Chazal say, I think as well. Noah was afraid to have more children because maybe God would just kill them again. There are people after the Holocaust who said we have to rebuild, and people after the Holocaust and said, why bother rebuilding? The world's a terrible place. It could be, again, righteous, he absolutely was. Another contrast. When Hashem told Avraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom, what was Avraham's reaction? God, have rahmanis on people that you love. Care for your children. I'll find 50 tzaddikim, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. Adam goes to war, loves people. What about Noah? Hashem told Noah, the whole world can destroy. What did Noah say? Yeah, okay. That's okay. And the point that many Mepharshim bring, the Sfarno really, I think, led this camp. Again, there are those who believe Noah can't be critiqued. Those are the rabbis who are Darshan Osho L'Shvach. The Ramban falls under the category. Well, Noah decided don't give many critiques, nothing wonderful. But there are others. It goes a little bit in Rashi. You find a little bit of it in Rashi. The Sfarno again. Who believe that Noah was a righteous man, but again, more of an insular tzaddik, not someone who preached and taught and spread the word of Hashem. And by the way, if that's the case, do you know who Chazal chose to compare him to? Avraham Avinu. You want to know why? Because Avraham was the exact opposite. He was the antithesis of everything Noah was. Avraham had all sorts of self-sacrifice in order to teach and to preach and to go out and spread Torah to the world. It was, especially through the eyeglasses of Chazal. He had a tent with four corners, and he converted many people and brought people up. But even according to the Pasuk Pshat, he was the father of monotheism. He definitely took care of the three angels. Avraham was a chesed. I went to the beautiful word from the Vitarian. The following question. Well, why is Noah, was Noah responsible? Was he able to? Well, one could argue Noah didn't do such fear, didn't go out, but he could. That way, the total silence. That's one way. One can argue Noah didn't know how to, wasn't so talented. However, there's a second way of arguing. Like Harrison suggested, maybe it was a philosophical decision, not just a practical. Maybe ideologically, Noah didn't want to go out. And he brought us a little cute proof, which I thought was very clever. In order to explain it, we have to pause, time out. I want to share a different idea with you about Sefer Yonah. But Tarragon had a whole, he had a whole beautiful idea about this, about Sefer Yonah as a whole. We're going to pause, take a look at Sefer Yonah, and then eventually come back to this question and eventually talk about it. You have to talk about this next. You with me so far? Yeah? So for starters, Sefer Yonah, let's just look at the Sefer for a moment. It starts off with Hashem telling Yonah to go do what? Go tell the people of Nineveh, it's time to repent, it's time to do tshuva. Many, many mepharshim, the Gra, I think is the most quoted, believe the reason why Yonah didn't go is because he was afraid that Nineveh would do tshuva and not B'nai Yisrael. I kind of suggested a second potential answer. He thought maybe Yonah doesn't believe in tshuva. Yonah's a man of din, a man of mishpah, a man of emes, a man of if you're punished, if you do something wrong, you gotta pay. If you do the crime, you gotta do the time. No such thing as letting people off the hook. He's a man of emes. What was Yonah's father's name, by the way? Amittai. What letters? Aleph, Mem, Tav. Amittai, emes. Yonah is Ben Amittai. He's a man of truth. Therefore, he didn't want to go back to Nineveh. If this is a true theory, let's see how it plays its way out throughout the Sefer. He ends up on a boat where everyone's diving to a Avodah Zarah to save them, except for one man who's not diving. Who's that? Why not? Because if I deserve to be punished, I'll take it. And they say, we're going to throw you off the boat. You know what Yonah's response is? That's what I deserve. He believes this theory so much, he's willing to die for it. All he'd have to do is pray along with people. Throw me off the boat. He gets into a fish, and all of a sudden the Medrash says it's a male fish, dog, and he had too much room there. He didn't have to Hashem, so they threw him to a female fish. Where did Chazal know it was a male fish or a female fish? Well, it says dog, and then later on, dog up. Why did Chazal say he wasn't badly in the male fish? Because the only philosophy is we don't ask for tshuva. We get the punishment we deserve. Until eventually Yonah gets out, and he says to God, this is like a powerful, powerful, powerful thought. He says to God, when God asks Yonah, why don't you go to Nineveh? You know what he says? Hashem, I know that you are Hashem, Hashem, Kel Chanun V'Rachum. Switches up the word, mixes up the word. Erech HaPayim V'Rav Chesed. What does he leave out? Doesn't say it. Why? He doesn't believe God is Emes. He believes God is softy. He knows God is. Hail Chanun, Barachum, Erechapayim, Rav Chesed. That's a what? Yonah thinks God is softy. Cool theory so far, right? And this thing, I think, is the last. Did anyone notice that the book doesn't end at the end of the story?
Yeah.
There's this whole story about this tree, this Kikayon. Yeah. Yonah builds a little tree, goes under the shade, really likes the shade. Then the tree's gone the next day. Yonah gets so upset, it's like, God, forget about it. Life is no longer worth living, which is a funny overreaction, no? There's a grand up from the office. You watch the office?
Yeah.
When Andy punches him through the wall, he goes, that, my friend, was an overreaction. You know, they like it goes totally nuts when they hit his phone and he's feeling something like that, like people don't like it. Oh, it's a great show. In any event, Yonah, like, wants to die, and Hashem says to him, Yonah, and this is the last question to the whole parent. Now you understand what it means to have Rachmanis on a tree, which you love. Don't you think I love all the people and animals and everything living in Nineveh as well? And you know what the point of the last Perek and even Pasuk the short is? Again, to drill home the message. Hashem is not an ish. Hashem is not a doesn't only operate with din and mishpat and emes and truth and source, but combines it, synthesizes it, balances it with rahmanas and mercy and chus and pain and all these other, not pain, but you know, et cetera, all the mercy and rahmanas and these type of things. And by the way, like Aaron said, this is really true. You know what they would be say for Yonah? Yom Kippur. And specifically the end of Yom Kippur, because the message is God, even if we don't deserve to be forgiven, you told Yonah that you love your children and forgive them anyway. But Harrigan then said, there may be two specific men who stood on this principle of din and mishpat, and weren't willing to teach and preach to the world tshuva and chesed, the things of that nature. Yonah and Noah. He said, if you think about it, there are other parallels that Chumash may develop. There are only two of the times that the people are accused for doing the crime of Hamas. One is found in Sefer Yonah, and the other one is in Parshas Noah. There are only two stories in the entire Tanakh that takes place in the middle of the water. About a person secluded insularly inside something inside the water. Only two stories that take place on a boat. And then the clincher is, what was the name of the bird that Noah sent out?
Yonah.
And it could be, as Harrigan suggested, there are all sorts of textual hidden, you know, read between the lines type hints that would indicate that Yonah and Noah had one ideology, had one set of values, had a set of values of righteousness and din and mishpat. When you're right, when you know, you do what you do, and you get punished if you do something wrong, and I'm right, and forget about the rest of the people, worry about your own righteousness. And it could be in contrast to Noah and Yonah, would be HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham. Noah did nothing wrong. Hashem saved him. Hashem loved him. Hashem appreciates Noah. Hashem liked Yonah as well as enough. And maybe, I hope I'm not building too much of a dark image. But when Hashem chose someone to be his chosen nation, last time, when Hashem wants someone to represent him in this world. When Hashem had to select one family and eventually a nation to serve as his role model nation and implement the ideas and values, that he subscribes to, he chose Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Hashem loved Noah, called him Tzad. Hashem saved Noah, saved his children, saved the whole family. Hashem's looking to teach Yonah a lesson. He asked him to be his mother, give him prophecy. But when it comes to choosing his people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected people who have the desire to spread his ideas and values, to preach his message, to teach his philosophy, to emulate his characteristics to the world. If you think about it for a second, this parsha, last week, this week's parsha, the transition to Noah is a huge, monumentous transition that takes place in culture. God created a world, we'll call it Plan A, a world where everyone was supposed to recognize Hashem. Everyone was supposed to do with his will. Created a cocoon, in a sheltered utopia called Gan Eden. There was one little thing Adam and Chava could do, one little avera they had to avoid, and unfortunately they did. And God realized this wasn't going to work. So we offered because he didn't know before. Okay, guys, today this is not the right approach, but let's move on a little bit. Let's try taking out of Gan Eden. If it can't work in Gan Eden, it can't work here, so let's try somewhere else. And unfortunately, kind and Hevel, he was their best shot. And again, fail miserably. And Hashem realizes that that's not a good situation and changes a little more. A lot more people in the world. World grows. And Hashem gives again. Beginning of Parshas Noach. And everything gets messed up again. The people are so unbelievably corrupt, so immoral, so unethical. You see in the Pesukim, you see in the Midrashim even more clearly. Sexual immorality, selfishness, gezel, theft. The people of Noach, everything was just about, give me what I want right now. Someone else's wife, give it to me. That animal right there has to pleasure me the best way I want to pleasure me right now. Don't give anything else. And Hashem realized that was practical as well. Had to destroy the whole world again. It looks like he's psyching out over here. Hashem changed a few things, added in Shabbat Mrs. Ray Noah, and unfortunately again, allowed it to be me, and unfortunately again, the world had a very difficult failure. This time the Dor HaFlaga. People gathered up, and not even sure exactly what they did wrong. Rashi has a few days, maybe they went to war against him, maybe they tried to outdo the Mavo, whatever they did, there was something wrong. Something that involved not to love and shame, something selfish about it. And again, God said, well, maybe if I spread out people amongst the world and give them different languages. And God's like striking out over here, he's trying his best. Well, lo and behold, in the middle of nowhere, Kivayochel, unexpected, this man pops up and starts teaching and preaching and inspiring. This man steps forward and starts philosophizing, finding Hashem, searching and seeking, finding truth. And not only does he find the truth, he starts teaching it to others, educating us and others. Again, the pasuk says, "As Hanef Sher Subachara." You can interpret that Rashi for sure. To me, Avram was Megairus, and Nashim started the Nashim. They turned, they were inspired, they educated, and they brought forward to the world. Avram's most influential man in all world history. Started Malachi. And Yitzhak, his son, followed in the footsteps. And it was difficult that Yishmael did. And Yaakov, his son, followed in that footsteps as well, Esav. And eventually they became this family who, time and time again, taught and preached, valued, and started a small little, they call it Hebrew, Garin, a small little, culture, a small little family with a certain dynamic, with certain values, those of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it began to grow. And Hashem said, to my offer, he hasn't realized beforehand, this plan is going to work better. When the whole world at one time has the responsibility to recognize God, it just doesn't work. Ideologically, it may have been l'charchila, but practically speaking, Hashem had to make an adjustment and select the people, and I'm Segula, and I'm Hanibcha, and I'm Kani, the great Kadosh. Choose and select the people to elevate them and give them this specific mission, this specific task. The goal of serving as a role model nation, one who has a job to educate, to inspire, to be Maravich's power, to be Maravich's desire to become a model for the world. I was always bothered by a concept in Judaism called Chus Avos. Chus Avos means like Makasi Planet. Like, I didn't understand this first of all. So, my father was great, and that's why I get in. So, if you're a country club, I can understand that. But, like, so it's a snobby, snobby. In other words, it's not objective morality, objective justice. Why should God favor one person and maybe find them bother the ashes? I think the message is I once said this for a man in the name of a big rub in England, Mordechai Miller. He's a Rav Yeshiva called Gateman. He suggested the following theory, the thing, when that failed. You never ever find us as the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because of the Kosovos, give us parnasa, give us a nice salad, give us livelihood, give us money. You never ask us, you never find a feeling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our fathers were tzaddikim, chus avos. You know, give us shiduchim. Give us healthy children. What you find is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. What you find is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please bring Am Yisrael back to its status, children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And point was, we don't deserve more, and therefore use chosavos. Rather, the chosavos is, Hashem, please allow us, help us to live up to our responsibility. As the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the same path and mission they have of inspiring and educating the world, of bringing the values of monotheism, of chesed, of generosity, of selflessness to the world. And by the way, look around at the world. Most of the positive, maybe this is a large overgeneralization, but I think it's fairly accurate. Most of the positive, wonderful values in the world were taken from Judeo and Judeo-Christian values come back to the Bible. You want to be able to treat each other for Avraham afterwards? You mean like the history books of Athens and Sparta? And the values of chesed, giving and generosity and caring, were revolutionary at the time, but the world incorporated them. In a certain sense, they've been very successful. There have been 20 times in history where certain countries have been more in certain countries' lives, but by and large, at times of Avraham, no one was monotheistic. These days, by 50% of the world. Judaism, Christianity, and Muslim, Islam are all monotheistic religions. That traces back to Avraham and his children. Could be the reason why we ask for chusav. You know, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose specifically Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and their children and their family and turned us into a nation is because of this character trait, this quality. On one hand, the commitment and frumkeit that Noah had, but at the same time, the desire, aspiration, dream, and ability to inspire, to educate, to fulfill the prophecy that Yeshayahu and Rabbi calls being Or Lagoyim, to shed light into the world with the values of Torah, with the Hashkafas HaTorah. Noah was a tzaddik, Yonah was a tzaddik. But the ideal that we look up to, the value system that we have, is one where we are supposed to first affect, impact, grow, develop amongst ourselves, and eventually emanate that to the world, have the world see it, have the world learn from it. And by the way, the ultimate goal we're talking about is the Yom HaMashiach, where the whole world knows. The whole world knows and recognizes and turns towards God. Nebuah, the prophets are full of, the Nevi'im are full of these types of stories. The false prophets will know that Hashem is God, and people will start to bring peace opposed to war, the lion will walk with the lamb. Lo yisa goyal cherev, lo yil medu od milcham, people will take their, you know, their weapons of war and turn them into farming utensils for cause to lead peace amongst the world. The world will recognize Hashem and monotheism. The false prophets will start regretting what they've done. You know, iniquity and shame and evil will be gone amongst the world. That's essentially the ultimate dream of Mashiach, as well as our job to help further the long, maybe even eternal process. Our national goal, our national dream of bringing justice, monotheism, morality, ethics to the world starts in this week's parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically chose Avraham and not Noah. Because Avraham has these character traits, generosity, commitment, you know, desire to share, desire to give, to focus on others. Noah was a tzaddik with an instrument. Avraham is a tzaddik of a leader. The one who has the ability to start a nation and has responsibility to bring the Kadosh Baruch Hu's values and ideology to the world.